Chapter 19. Pat Harris had called my mother and asked if she and I could come out for a visit. "If it isn't urgent, Pat, this would be a good time for Darcy and me to swing by and take a look at my school," Mom told her friend. Pat agreed that the visit could wait for a bit, so on this sunny, blue-skied but nippy afternoon, we were driving along a country road south of town toward the beautiful area in Ventris County that once was Ben Ventris's farm. Since yesterday, I was two people. One was going about doing the usual things. The other was back with Grant at Granny Grace's place. He had told me he loved me. My heart sang, and everything else dimmed in comparison. Mom looked at me thoughtfully now and then, but she didn't ask any questions. A valley opened up before us, and there was the school. Mom had kept the original homestead that belonged to Ben and his wife, but she made additions and internal changes to it. The farmhouse looked almost the same as when Ben lived there, with the exception of an L added to the back and a new coat of paint. The red barn had been updated, re-roofed, and repainted. The most outstanding addition was the school building. When the architect designed the school, he kept the farmhouse look, painting the walls a cream color and adding a green roof and green shutters. Mom insisted on a wraparound porch so boys and house parents could sit and watch the sunsets. She wanted it to look as unthreatening as possible to youngsters who had a preconceived notion that school was an unfriendly place. My mother's plans called for the school to be equipped to handle boys from kindergarten through sixth grade. After grade six, they would ride the bus into the Levi City schools. She continued to work with the State Department of Education to be sure the curriculum was up to state standards. I stopped in the driveway, and we gazed at this dream child of my mother's. The sun's rays, slanting over a western hill, lit the windows, causing them to shine with a golden glow. Everything was peaceful, as I imagined it was when Ben and his wife lived here. Nothing hinted at the explosive events that occurred here months ago that nearly ended our lives. Mom smiled. "Darcy, it almost looks as if there's a light on inside those windows. Doesn't it look homey? Don't you think the boys will feel comfortable here?" I patted her arm. "Indeed I do, Mom. You've put so much of yourself into this school. It's going to be a wonderful place. Ben would be very proud of you for using your inheritance in this way." "You know, Pat said she would be the cook, but that will mean she'll have to drive to work every day. Of course, she doesn't live far, so maybe Jasper can take his meals here, too. And maybe she and Jasper can keep that old truck running. She is a good cook, that's for sure. In the summer, the boys can swim and fish in the river. In the fall, they can pick apples and chop firewood for the fireplace." "That is too funny, Mom. Have you thought that maybe the boys will not equate picking apples and chopping wood with swimming and fishing?" She sniffed. "Well, you know what I mean. You will probably have a daily events schedule worked out next week, Mom. Is Hiram Schuster still overseeing things?" "He is, Darcy. Hiram Schuster and his wife are going to be house parents when school starts. I hope everything is completed so we can kick off the new school year next fall. I admit I get too enthusiastic. I think Ben would be happy with how this is turning out." I nodded. "Such a beautiful place, Mom. So quiet and peaceful." I looked at the surrounding low hills, the generous yard where flowers would grow, and the trees whose limbs were meant for climbing. "The boys who will call this home will be lucky indeed." "Yes, and it's all because of Ben Ventris. I think he would be pleased. Well, I've seen what I came to see, so let's go on to Pat's and find out what is so important. She sounded kind of secretive on the phone." "I guess that's better than sounding hysterical. I have heard her when she was so overwrought, she made no sense at all." I turned the escape around and headed down the driveway toward the country road leading to Pat's place. "This is a rough old road. Slow down, Darcy." Mom grunted and grabbed the door handle as I turned at a corner sign that read, "Old String." a skeleton of a house appeared between leafless trees in the distance, the house where old String had lived. "This is Pat's driveway," she added, pointing to some narrow ruts leading off through the trees. A neatly painted mailbox with the words Pat Harris stood on a post next to the ditch. I rounded a curve, and there was Pat's little white frame house. "It looks lonely," I said as I came to a stop. "She probably does get lonesome. No neighbors close, just her and Jasper all by themselves out here. But she's lived here a long time, and I'm sure she's used to it." "Do you think she asked us to come because she was feeling blue?" "No, I think she wants to talk to us about something that's troubling her." We climbed out of the escape and started up the short pathway to Pat's front door. The hedge roses bordering the walk looked beautiful in spring and summer, but now they were just gray bushes without a sign of green. Murphy, Ben Ventress's red hound that Jasper had adopted after Ben was killed, came down the walk to meet us, voicing his welcome. Mom stopped to scratch behind his ears. He tossed his head, his tail going a mile a minute. Pat opened the door before we could knock. "Come in out of the cold," she said, beckoning us inside. She took our coats and we sat down on her gray sofa. "I'll bring some coffee. Despite that sunshine, it is cold enough to freeze the horns off a brass monkey." "I don't know anything about brass monkeys, but I imagine your wood stove keeps the whole house snug, doesn't it?" I asked. "Sure does," Pat called from the kitchen. In a few minutes, she reappeared with a tray bearing three steaming cups. I gratefully sipped and felt the hot drink travel all the way down to my stomach. Pat's coffee was second in flavor only to Mom's. "Thanks for coming," Pat said. "My old truck wouldn't start this morning or I would have come to your house. I've called Hiram Schuster and asked him to take a look at it. He's bringing jumper cables. It's probably just the battery." Mom swallowed her coffee and put the cup and saucer on her lap. "Why, Pat, we're always glad to see you. I'm sorry about your car, but I am always glad to come for a visit. You know that. I appreciate it because I found something and wanted you to have it right away." Pat fished around in the sewing box next to her chair. "While I was sweeping Jasper's room yesterday, I swept this from under his bed, and I just don't know what to make of it. I think it must have fallen out of something, and he didn't notice it because the bedspread was covering it." She handed Mom a photograph so old that the edges were yellowed and bent. I peered over Mom's shoulder. An attractive, dark-haired girl smiled at the camera. She looked like she was straight out of the 1940s. A wide-brimmed, floppy hat was pulled down over one eyebrow. Tight waves cascaded across her forehead. She wore a two-piece suit, the hem just below her knees. A blouse peeked discreetly above the collar of her jacket. Strappy shoes with chunky heels finished off her stylish ensemble. The dark hair and eyes, the square jawline, and the high cheekbones were unmistakable. "Why, Mom, that's you!" Pat nodded. "It sure is. It's Flora when she was a mite younger. Only thing is, what was that picture doing in Jasper's room? Where did he get it? You didn't give it to him, did you, Flora?" "I love that outfit, Mom. Why were you dressed in those retro clothes?" Mom's hand shook as she held the picture. "That's not me," she said quietly. Pat slapped her knee with her hand. "Of course that's you, Flora, or if it's not, it's your twin, and I've never known there to be but one of you." I looked at the photo more closely. "If it's not you, then who? Maybe it was taken so long ago that you've forgotten." My mother frowned at me and rose hurriedly. "I guess that I would know if I had my picture taken in clothes like that. Thanks for giving me this, Pat. Darcy, we'd better go." "Are you all right?" I asked. Her face was pale, and she definitely appeared unwell. Pat looked surprised and uncertain. "Well, okay if you've got to go, but you just got here. I was hoping you could help me figure out how in the world your picture came to be on Jasper's floor." She took our coats from the peg in the hall and handed them to us. "And I'm telling you, Pat, that is not my picture," Mom said, pulling her coat around her and opening the door. "Thanks, Pat," I said as I followed my departing parent. "Sorry we weren't more help." Mom didn't even stop to say goodbye to Murphy. She trotted to the escape and was in the seat and buckled by the time I opened the driver's door. "Mom, What's wrong? I asked as I backed down Pat's driveway. That picture, Darcy. If I didn't know better, I'd say it was me, but it's not. And I don't have any sisters. If you'll remember, I was adopted. I turned onto Old String Road and headed back to Levi. Yes, I remember. You said Granny Grace told you that your birth mother was a young girl who had gotten into trouble. That's the term people used in those days. Nobody ever came right out and said an unmarried woman was pregnant. But, Darcy, I think that may be a picture of my natural mother. She put her hand to her eyes and wiped away tears. And the picture looks so familiar, I'm afraid I might know who it is. But how? Oh, I don't know. When we get back to the house and I've had time to think, maybe I can puzzle this out and decide what we should do next. The face in the picture was familiar to me, too, but if it wasn't Mom, I couldn't think who it might be. And as Pat said, why did Jasper have it? The drive back to town was silent while we were busy with our own thoughts. Who was that smiling, attractive woman from the past? And what was her photo doing on Jasper Harris's floor?